Fuzzy TV.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are on the planet watching this show. Thank you. It's great to have you here. I'm happy to be serving you in this way. To be honest with you, I'm also serving myself. I need this. I need this teaching. I need to hear what I'm saying. And I always listen to what I'm saying. Right after I'm done with this, I edit it, and I get to listen to myself. So just imagine, I teach it, and then I get to listen to it. And it's so God and not me that I can listen to it objectively and say, oh, this truth is terrific. I love it. It never gets old. And this truth that we revel in helps us in life. It's not just head knowledge. No, we're not in this to just have our cerebellums grow out. Oh, the cerebellums. No, that's the medulla oblongata. The cerebrum's up front. Okay, well, that could possibly expand. Today, we're going to look at five questions. Who knows if I'll get past question number one, because question number one is really good. These are common questions that I get, and you may be having these same questions. These are good questions. I mean, these are things I have to really think about. And thus, after I think about them and put more time and effort into them than I ever had before, I come to a deeper understanding. If I even had an understanding at all, which generally I do, but to deepen the understanding is to deepen one's peace and one's love of God, really. First question, I've had a problem with this verse for a while. In Isaiah 65, verse 17, God says that he will make a new heavens, a new earth, and the former things will not be remembered or come to mind. So if nothing of this earth is going to be remembered, and I assume that the lessons learned here are important for everyone for eternity, then why are we here? Woo! Is this a question from a thinker or what? Yes, let me answer that question. This is a question from a person who is thinking. And this is a difficult passage, because it can't be that there will be absolutely no recollection that we were ever mortals. Because this person is correct. I assume that the lessons learned here are important for everyone for eternity. And if they're not, then why are we here indeed? Why are we here? We all often talk about contrast. The whole reason why we're going to feel good for eternity is that we felt bad for a lifetime here. And so the contrast is essential. So, of course, we're going to be able to recall. But it's the act of remembering that will be unnecessary. Let me explain that. Let's go to the passage in the Concordant Literal New Testament, Isaiah 65, 17. I got to get a new pair of headphones. Does anybody know anything about this? What's happened is this input has gotten loosey-goosey. And I no longer have the friction. This goes in and out like this. It's no longer like tight, you see. It used to just like go right in there and not come out. But now it kind of slips in and out. And I can hear myself, then I can't hear myself. I can hear myself, then I can't hear myself. Somebody told me I can take it to the Bose store and they can fix it. I'm going to check into that. If anybody has any input on that, get it input, let me know. Okay, Isaiah 65, because it's very irritating. Isaiah 65, and obviously it distracts me, as you can see. Concordant version, Isaiah 65, 17. Let's start with verse 16. He who is blessing himself in the land, he shall bless himself by the Elohim of truth. And he who is swearing in the land shall swear by the Elohim of truth. I'm glad nobody asked me about that verse, because I don't understand that at all. For the former distresses are forgotten, and indeed they are concealed from my eyes. That is the key to everything. But this is still verse 16. The former distresses are forgotten, and indeed they are concealed from my eyes. For behold, me creating new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor shall they come up on the heart, that's also a key, but rather be elated and exult in the futures of the future, which I shall be creating. For behold, me creating Jerusalem an exaltation and her people an elation. All right, so let's go back to the end of verse 16 here. And I'm in Isaiah chapter 65. The former distresses are forgotten. Okay, so first of all, in this particular specific passage, we're talking about distresses. Things that are distressful to you today, and there are lots of them. You will not forget the events that brought them about, but the distressfulness of the event, you will forget. You will not be able to bring it to mind because, as we know, every single stress, every single pain in this life is brought to us with a purpose. All things are working together for the good of those who are loving God, called according to his purpose. So all that would include distresses, obviously. And we know that God brings us trials, and it is graciously granted to us to be suffering for his sake also, because we know that suffering produces great glory. So obviously, the distresses now are breaking us down in a way in that we have no more confidence in flesh and that we rely completely on God. So the distresses are doing their work in combination with the grace of God and in combination with the revelation that all these things are working together for good. But the distresses will be forgotten. The fruit will not be forgotten, because the fruit will be with us every single day for the eons of the eons. The fruit, the glory of what the stress has produced, will be with us. And of course, the event will always be remembered, but the distresses, the distressing parts of it, will be so overshadowed by the glory that they will not be barely recalled. I mean, do you think, for one thing, let me ask you this, do you think that Jesus Christ will ever forget the crucifixion? I mean, do you think that when we see Christ and when we thank him for going to the cross for our sakes, he'll say, going to what? Going to the what? Ladies and gentlemen, we know that would be impossible, because when he takes on his earthly form, which we will be able to see him in, he will still be carrying his wounds from the crucifixion as an aeonian remembrance of the price by which salvation came. Can you imagine that? We are going to see the literal wounds of Christ. I'm not saying that we will not see his glorified body. We'll be capable then of seeing it. The Apostle Paul could only see it for a second. He was blinded. That was just by the corona. That was just by the outward glory. He didn't even see Christ himself at that point. Just like you don't see the sun when you look at the sun. You see the corona. You see the glory. But just the glory is enough to blind you. You can't see the sun directly. Paul could not see Jesus Christ directly in his glorified state. He just caught the corona. He caught the glory cloud, the glory, the effulgence. The effulgence is the word used in Hebrews. He caught that, and that was enough to blind him in a second. He couldn't see anymore. That's one reason our bodies have to be changed, so that we can contain the glory. I've said that for many years. And so that we can look upon the glory. We'll be able to look upon Christ and absorb everything he is. Can you imagine that? We can't in this state. Prove it. Saul on the road to Damascus. He couldn't even grasp the outer edges, the effulgence, the corona of Christ glorified. That's where we're going to have to be changed. New eyes, new ears, new mind, the mind of Christ. Still human beings, but glorified human beings. God creates a new humanity. He doesn't throw humanity out. Are you kidding? He's worked too hard on it. Have we gone through the entire old humanity just to get rid of humanity itself? No. We need the old humanity to stand on its shoulders to appreciate the new humanity. You see the common word? It's humanity. Humanity continues on, but it's new. So we are still going to be human beings. We're not going to be some crazy new creatures. We're still going to be human beings, but we're going to be glorified human beings. So it's the distressful aspects of these things that will be forgotten. There will be no pang whatsoever. How many times a day do you experience a pang of fear, of a dread of the future, of a regret concerning the past? I mean, it's constant. You try to keep it at bay. You try to think positive thoughts, but that doesn't always work, does it? Well, when we're changed, that is never going to happen again. Never. the doom, the gloom, depression, anxiety, gone forever. But we're certainly not going to forget our lives. We're certainly not going to forget our loved ones. We're not going to forget what we went through. But our remembrance of these events will be, to say the least, soft-focused. But that doesn't even say it well enough. They're going to be rid of any single iota of a pang of a negative emotion. And only the positive things that came from that event will endure. Endure and endure and endure. Now, the former distresses are forgotten, and indeed they are concealed from my eyes. This is a clue that they are concealed from my eyes. Do you think that anything is absolutely concealed from God's eyes? No, nothing. This is God speaking. Of course, this is condescension. This is him coming across with human emotions, a human mind, thinking as a man. This is a figure of speech completely. It's called anthropomorphia or condescension. So keep that in mind. But the fact that these things are spoken of being, is being concealed. I can have an object here in front of me. I can have this pair of sunglasses, which I was considering wearing, but it's just too freaking cool. It's overwhelming. It's too much. I now have these pair of sunglasses, yet now they're concealed from your eyes. They're concealed. Do they disappear? No, they're still here. They're just concealed from your eyes. So this is a clue to what is coming up next. God conceals these things from his eyes. Just like our sins now are concealed from his eyes. Doesn't mean we're not sinning, but they're concealed. And it's really, when we talk about the truth of justification, it's more than simply concealed. They're actually alchemized into acts of righteousness. By the alchemy of God. I'm not saying that sins are righteous. I'm saying by the alchemy of God and the truth of justification, that sin is necessary for the eradication of self, to have no confidence in self. That in this way, you could look at the sin and say, only from this viewpoint, from the God viewpoint, from the cross viewpoint, from the justification viewpoint, that it was right. You can see that, I hope. That the crucifixion was wrong and right at the same time. See, when I bring the crucifixion up, people who are like going, oh, Sanders getting in some weird territory here. You look at the crucifixion, you say, okay, yeah, okay, I can see that. Of course you can. It was wrong and right. It was a terrible crime, and yet it was the most right thing that ever happened, because of what resulted from it. So just, if you can see that in the crucifixion, then you can see it from every sin in your life. It's wrong, truly wrong, but in another sense, it was absolutely necessary. It had to come to form you, to make you have no confidence in the flesh, and to bring you to God. And so in that sense, it was right. So, but in this instance, God is simply saying they are concealed from my eyes. So he's not looking at them. But it, again, the truth is even more profound than that. Verse 17. Okay, here we go. For behold, this is where the questioner talked about this specifically. For behold, me creating new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered. This is a more radical statement. The former shall not be remembered. Here he's not simply talking about the former distresses. That was the end of verse 16. The former distresses are forgotten. That's easier to wrap our heads around. But here he's saying that he's going to be creating new heavens and a new earth. And the former, in the context, what is this? The former what? The former heavens and the former earth shall not be remembered, nor shall they come up on the heart. Now, when we're reading this, we cannot eliminate from the context God, because he's talking about himself. When he spoke of the former distresses being forgotten, he says, and indeed they are concealed from my eyes. Keep that thought. For behold me, the subject is God again, God speaking, behold me creating a new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered by me. I added that by me, but you can see that that is definitely in the context. So in the same way that distresses are concealed from God's eyes, the former heavens and the former earth shall not be remembered. In other words, actively thought upon. Like, let's dial back. Let's dial up. Let's roll the tape of the old earth, the old creation, the old humanity, and let's remember it. Let's just sit around the campfire, like we like to do today. Sit around the campfire, sit around the dinner table at the Thanksgiving meal or something, and remember things that happened in the past. What God is saying here is that these old things will not be remembered. They'll be cherished. They'll be in the database. There'll be events that are consciously noticed. You see, I'm trying very carefully not to say the word remembered. They're consciously noticed, but remembered is an active bringing up of an event like we do today. Now, I'm applying this to us now. But of course, if we're speaking of God, let me do this first. When we're speaking of God, he is not literally not remembering this. God is, because God is part of the topic here. The former shall not be remembered by me. The former heavens and the former earth shall not be remembered by me. Do you think that that's absolutely true? No, it's not true. It's just, God's not going to bring it up. He's not going to remember it. He's not going to say, hey, people, don't forget about that old earth and the... He's not going to say that. Of course, he's not going to literally forget that it happened. Hey, God, you remember when you created the heavens and the earth in Genesis 1:1? What? The what and the what? I have no remembrance of that whatsoever. Could you show me the verse? Oh, look at that. I seem to have some memories being stirred up. Let me see. Let me concentrate. It's not that at all. It won't be necessary for these things to be remembered. Nor shall they come up on the heart. That is a key too. Okay, so I was beginning to tell you about how we remember things. Constantly fussing and fretting over the past. Constantly, what I should have done, what I could have done, what I would have done, what I wish I had done. Remembering, going back, all the things, all the mistakes you made, and just marching them on the stage before you to in each memory causing a pang. Former things. But this is not even talking about former things. It's talking about the former heavens and the former earth. I'm just taking it a step further. And I'm telling you that even the former things shall not be remembered in that sense. Can you imagine not having to remember them? Knowing they happened, having them logged into your consciousness. But there's something about the word remembering that is an active drawing upon an event. Something is going to be so different about the way we see these events that the word remembering is going to be out of it completely. But I think the key is really, nor shall they come up on the heart. The heart is the emotions and the feelings. The mind will not, this is it, I think, the mind at that time will not need to dwell on the past. It will be aware of the past, but will not need to dwell on the past. I'm satisfied with that. Our minds will, of course, be aware of everything that happened in our past. In fact, more details than we can recall now. They say that people only use, 10% of their brains, 15% in my case. So I think it will be that when we are changed, we will be aware of even coming through the birth canal. We will be aware. I want to use that word aware in contrast with the word remembrance. Remembrance is more like a forced mulling upon. And sometimes when we have memories, when we remember things, they're pleasant. Other times they're very unpleasant. Awareness is a much colder term. And that's exactly what we want here. We want a colder term for this. Because we don't want any emotions associated with remembrance. Even good emotions are going to be replaced with something that can't even be described now. We think that good emotions, good feelings, good thoughts are as good as it gets, but these pleasant things pale in comparison with what is coming. So this awareness will be on a high spiritual level. No longer will the mind be forced to grovel in the past, to remember things. In fact, remembering something sounds like work, doesn't it? doesn't it? Like, let's get together and remember things. But to have a constant awareness of who you are and what you've been through, that so super exceeds remembering things. Remembering things will be an insult. It's like when I come up to you after we're snatched away and I say, do you remember when, or go up to Jesus, hey, Jesus, you remember when you were with Peter that one time and he said he was going to save you from the cross? And Jesus says, oh, let me see. Oh, yeah, I remember. What an insult. These things won't be remembered in that sense. See how delicate this is? But we're making progress here. It's an awareness, but not a conscious dragging up. Because that exhausts us today, remembering things, whether they bring good feelings or bad feelings. It's just exhausting. If only we could live in the present. How about this? If only we could live in the present with a perfect awareness of the past. Now, there we go.